I've been preaching about prayer. It's been my desire to study deeper into this subject and to somewhat write a curriculum for Bible school on it. Or, I don't know, that's maybe putting a big fancy name to it. But anyway, study it a little deeper. One of the things that I have a number of books on prayer, and I don't know that any of them talk about this subject, and this bothers me. The title of the message this morning is Forgiveness and Prayer. I do have one book that talks about it, and we want to look at that this morning, but it seems kind of odd to me that it is that way. Because in my own life, and in my own prayer life, this subject of horizontal relationships and prayer is so integrated, I can hardly see, or I can hardly fathom, how you can talk about prayer and not talk about the subject of forgiveness and relational, and it goes beyond forgiveness, it's relational issues, but we're going to talk about forgiveness maybe a little bit more in particular this morning. The other thing that I would like to say is prayer is really, really simple. It's already been mentioned that prayer is talking to God, and that really is what it is. It's really simple. And another thing about it is that it really is not difficult when our prayer life is blocked, when there's something wrong. It's not this complicated science to figure out what's wrong. It's really, really simple things, usually. I find that comforting because I'm not complicated, and it's really difficult for me to think through things sometimes. The things that make or break prayer life are really, really simple. That's just a fact. That's the way it is. All right. To forgive. Some dictionary definitions. To cease to feel resentment against an offender. To pardon. To forgive one's enemies. To give up resentment. Number two is to give up resentment of a claim to requital. Requital is, sometimes we'll use that term when we're asking for payment of services. So we requite something. There's a exchange of money for the service provided. So we give up resentment. We give that up. And then B on that one is to grant relief from payment of. So it's very, very similar. Now, turn with me to Mark 11. And verse 24 and 25. I have several verses I'd like to read right at the beginning here, and then I want to go to a diagram, and then we'll see how far we get beyond that. Mark 11, verse 24. Has a therefore. Therefore I say unto you. So we need to figure out why this is here, and without spending just a lot of time, let's go back to verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree that thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Let's go right on to Luke. There's a very short part of the Lord's Prayer here. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And then Matthew 6, there's a couple of verses there in Matthew. This is also the Lord's Prayer. And verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We should keep reading there. I have some more verses. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus does not make a lot of comment on the Lord's Prayer, but he does about this sentence. And I find that interesting that this thing about forgiveness, he does make a comment on. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. And we understand that. We're familiar with that. Now, let's go back to chapter 5. And this is the last verse that I have that I found that talks about prayer and forgiveness. Therefore, in verse 23, it says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar. Again, he's referring back to something else. Verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Now I thought about this and I wondered, you know, have we ever done this? What is this like to come to the altar and offer our gift? I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it would be like a service this morning. Maybe we should just and give time, if anybody has something against somebody else, to clear that up. I don't know if we practice that or not. I don't know if I've ever practiced it, actually. I think I have in my own personal prayer life. But we want to serve God, and we want to connect with Him. But one of the things this passage is saying is that in order to do that, it has to be right this way. It has to be right horizontally. Now, a few things. The Amplified points out that this, in verse 21, no, verse 22, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. That seems a little bit, I had a hard time. I told you I was simple, but I was just trying to grasp, well, what does that mean, without a cause? I mean, hello. Why would somebody get angry with somebody with no reason? But that's not really what is meant. There's this lingering anger because of an issue that stays there and stays there, and finally it's unreasonable. How long the anger is staying there, and it's called harboring resentment, that's what this is talking about. That makes sense to me a little bit more because I can relate to that. There's some times things have happened in my life that make me feel like doing that. So, we have this harboring resentment. And then it seems like to me that this thing is ramping up. So we have the harboring resentment and there's anger and then there's words. I'm not exactly sure what you would compare those words, angry words. It seems like it's kind of a blowing off to somebody else and just not controlled. That's stating it mildly, but anyway, it's just not controlled. Damaging words. We can think of the song, Angry Words Will Let Them Never From the Tongue Unbridled Slip. And that's, I think that is kind of the definition of this second one. Then the third one is further yet. It's more like an empty-headed fool. And we get to the point, and it's kind of embarrassing for me to say it, but it's true that I have thought this way about people. They just aren't thinking through this. They're just an empty-headed fool. And then we have this despising of them, of their person. So that is what happens. I'm sorry, I have one more scripture here. Let's go. My format got all messed up here this morning. Okay, let's go to Matthew 18. And there's one more. I was correct. That is the last scripture that I have, that I found. And there might be more that talk about prayer and forgiveness. But there are many, many more scriptures that talk about forgiveness. So I want to look at this one yet just a little bit. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. It's familiar to us. Matthew 18, 23. This is right after Peter says, how often shall I forgive my brother? And then Jesus says, not until I say that, not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due. Likewise shall my heart also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone their trespasses. I think it's helpful, and we noticed this before, but I think it's helpful to recognize that forgiveness is often compared to money and an exchange of money. It talks about accounts here, and it talks about debts and payables, and he didn't have what it took to pay, and so on. I think it's helpful to think of it that way. Now, God created us. We can't really explore this whole thing in a few minutes, but just a couple of things again. God created us to relate. And we just talked about construction class Wednesday evening, but that just fascinates me that God created us to do that. And I don't understand why. I don't understand all the reasons for that. Why does God want to... He wants to relate to us, but it's not just... He doesn't just want a robot. He wants somebody to choose, like we're talking about in the devotion. He wants us to choose. That's his heart. But all sin... All rebellion is a rejection of that relationship. All rebellion is a rejection of that relationship. I'm going to try to do this and not hurry too fast. And one thing I would say is this is not original. Now, I've edited it a little bit, but it's not original with me. Two people should probably receive some public credit. One is Mike Hofer. Him and I have talked about this a fair bit at Bible school. We were sitting next to each other, and so he is one. This is where I get the drawing, and another one is my brother Lauren. I talk to him quite a bit. So I talked about rejection, and I choose this. I choose that because one of the things that we want in relationships, one of the reasons we do what we do is we're trying to find acceptance. And that was already talked about this morning as well. But we're trying to find acceptance. Almost all hurts that we have trouble forgiving are some form of rejection. So we have that. Now let's put us in here, and this is the big I, and I, we're just going to do an abbreviation there, that means that I is centered. I don't know what is next in this, but I'm going to put down anger. So we're going on around the circle here. And one of the things that comes right next to this is bitter. And we're just going to put bitter. And again, I'm not sure if this is always the right order, but it makes sense to me, and so I'm going to put it up here. And I'm going to put cynical. We get that way. We get hard and we get distrustful of people and we start predicting what's going to happen with our relationships. And then these two, I'm not sure about, but I'm going to have a hard time getting it in here, but vindication. That's somewhere we try to prove that we're right or that we're not at fault and that the other person is at fault and so on. Vindication. Somewhere along the line, we start trying to control them, the people that hurt us. Do that, and of course, we're critical. And again, some of these things, and what ends up happening, so we get angry and bitter and cynical, and we try to vindicate ourselves and control, and we have suspicion toward others and critical, and we have a lot of fear, and it ends up making this whole thing, it keeps on going and building. I think I've said this before too, but over the pulpit here, but the sin of unforgiveness is an old person's problem. Young people don't, but old people do. The older you get, and the more this cycle goes, I might be wrong, but I think it's an old person's problem. I find it for myself, it's a whole lot harder for me to forgive now than it was when I was in the youth. You think about it. I don't know if the Bible doesn't say that, but I think that that's the way it is. Now, let's do something with the big eye here. And I know that I'm not an artist. We should have put a big frown on him here. He's still going to have that. We're going to nail him to a cross here. And this is important. I know that all of the Christian life, you have this cross that needs to happen. But I said at the beginning that relationships, it really is a lot more simple than what we like to make it sometimes. Usually what's wrong is really just old-fashioned carnality that needs to be put on the cross. The other thing about this, is that I don't think that you and I can forgive until we die. And then Christ, living in us, can forgive. I don't think we can love. I don't think we can forgive. I don't think we can do any of those divine things. Unless, now we need to choose. Okay, so that happened. So we're going to replace this with freedom. One of the things that just stands out to me, again, I don't know if this is the but when you start forgiving, you're rejected in a relationship and you choose to forgive, it frees you. We actually should put here. Joy. And there's a lot of other things too you could add in there, but it seems to me that that is one of the first noticeable things that happens when we forgive. We start experiencing freedom and joy. Because oftentimes, the external circumstances have not changed yet at this point. But we have heart peace. Nobody else maybe knows about it, but I know about it. Something's changed in my heart, and I have heart peace. And then I start experiencing love. And it's divine love. It is because self is dying and dead, and that's why I have love, and it's divine love. It's Christ in me. Instead of vindication, we have humility. Instead of control. Let's see, maybe I missed that one. I missed something there. Instead of control, we have peace with others. And instead of suspicion, now, when you're hooking up a battery, that's the positive. So that's what that means. I don't know if all the exact replacements, but the Apostle John says that perfect love casts out fear. But I thought about this. And I'm going to put endurance. One of the things that we see there. We tend to give up when we are fearful, when we are constantly locked in a bondage of fear. We tend to give up. And when you replace forgiveness and you have all these other things, humility and peace with others and communication and service, you end up having hope, and it helps you to endure. It makes sense to me. Now, I'm not sure if it'll make sense to you, but it does to me. And then, instead of this continuing this cycle of, because of all these other things, I now give people acceptance. I spelled that wrong. Talking and not thinking here. I don't know if these things are helpful or not, but it helps me to understand. And all these things are a growing experience. I think it should be a growing experience. We should be growing in freedom. We should be growing in joy. We should be growing in heart peace and love for each other and humility and peace with others and communication and service. So often, I don't have time to talk about everything that's up there, but so often our service. Have you ever noticed that people that get bitter, they do very little for God's people and for the church, and they do very little serving Christ. And service brings a lot of freedom and joy and all of those things. It all connects. All right, I was a little afraid that it would take too much time. Just a few things that I would like to say yet. Back to the thought of prayer. It is impossible to pray when we're harboring resentment. Maybe you've figured out a way, but I sure haven't. You kneel down and the only thing you can think about is this other person, and your mind just goes around and around. Prayer life dies, wilts, or ends when we harbor resentment. The interesting thing to think about with this is the other end of the relationship. You know, in this relationship with prayer, there's two of us talking, and the other person, what's God doing when I'm not forgiving, when I'm harboring resentment? I'm not sure I got the answer to that. But one of the things he's doing that it said in Matthew 18. It was the Matthew 18. It says that he is delivering us to the tormentors until we should pay that which was due us. I don't know what that is exactly, but I have a feeling that that is something that happens here in this life and in the next. God is a merciful God, and I actually think that that's some of the reason for the delivering to the tormentors is so that we understand our standing with God. One other thing that I would like to just make comment on and connect it to, the last time I preached on this was about our Father and our places. And this whole nature of forgiveness, see, it's actually core to the center of the gospel. The gospel is a gospel of forgiveness. That's what it's about. Jesus says this in Matthew. We didn't read Matthew 5. We didn't read any farther there, but verse 44, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And we talked about this, you know, you and I want this. We want acceptance. We want to belong somewhere. It's our drive. It's not just me. And it's not just a couple other people. That is our drive as human nature, is we want to be accepted. And we can find a level of acceptance. You know this, but we can find a level of acceptance with people by entering into this. I think we actually take a shortcut. You know, when we get critical and we get cynical and all of those things, we find a group of people that accept us. We usually do. This thing of that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. We want to belong somewhere, and it's just, I was going to talk about Joseph, but I'm just going to have to skip that. You think about Joseph's life, and over it says that God was with him. And I don't know of anybody that had to forgive and start forgiving at a young age. Maybe that's why he made it. it had been a 40-year-old, I'm not sure we'd have made it. But anyway, think about that. God's name was exalted in Joseph's life over and over again. I think he had a connection with God because of his willingness to forgive. I think that was a large part of it. Shall we kneel in prayer?